So tonight, what's up, guys? I missed you. I don't know. I just missed you. I love you. Thanks. I just want to talk tonight. I want to share tonight, but really, it's like I just prayed. I just want to share my heart. I've got verses, but I really just want the Holy Spirit. I know that's like a pat answer, but I just keep your hearts way open, amen? Because I just have so much inside my heart. Like, God has been teaching me about how to just, that he made us emotional beings, and that's not bad. It's not wrong. Did you know God has emotions? We're going to look today at God's anger. We're going to look today at God's anger. And before you cringe, oh, man, is he going Old Testament on me? No, we're not going Old Testament. We're going God's anger in the form of Jesus. And God made us in his image. So you have anger too. Everyone say, I have anger. So tonight's message is actually called How to Be Angry. How to Be Angry. There you go. What's his name? I forgot. His name's Anger? Chale. Hey, man. All right. True or false? It's not good to be angry. False. Okay, because you know where I'm going. But have you ever heard that or have you ever thought that? It's not good to be angry. What about anger is harmful? Kind of a trick question, because these could be true or it could be false. Anger and godliness do not go together, or anger is a sin. Just throw up the first verse. Let's go to Mark 3. Okay. Got you, Georgie. You got New King James then? Thanks, buddy. All right, Mark 3. Let's go there. Jesus enters the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. I want you to be there. Let the Holy Spirit show you. If you came in this place tonight and you were just jacked up physically in the form of a withered hand, like a car ran over your hand or something like that. It didn't see your hand on the floor or on the ground or whatever, something random. Okay, that would be bad. Would that be bad? Okay, you want that fixed. Do you care, how if the service goes longer? Do you care if it goes longer as long as your hand gets fixed? No, you don't care. We want to be well. We want to be whole. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. So all of a sudden, imagine in this room, if you had a withered hand, but people around you didn't care if you had a withered hand, and they wanted you to just stay in pain, not able to use your hand, just absolutely against you. Maybe you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and they're not trying to be, but they're really against Jesus, who's teaching the class in this story, right? And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. So then all of a sudden, Jesus calls you up. Maybe you had these desires, this desire inside of you. You had something that you want. You knew, you've heard about him. You know he can change you. You know he can heal you. You've encountered good teachings from him or other people that got blessed by him. So, wow, you're excited. Then Jesus said to them, now he's talking to the congregation. He called you up, but he's talking to everybody else. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? What's the answer to that? He's appealing to their basic sense of humanity. Do you realize that? I know some people don't like me out somewhere. There's somebody that doesn't like me. But, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't mind if they don't want to kill me. You know what I'm saying? It takes a pretty evil person to want to kill me. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole nother level. You know what I'm saying? So he's appealing to their Because remember, he knows that these people who are against you having your hand healed, that they're made in God's image too. They have a nature. Even if they're separated from God, because the reality is they're all in church. We're all in church in this story, just like we are today. Is it lawful on the Sabbath or any day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Or, this is implied, our religious sense of being right, our superiority, is that more important than a life being saved? That's what he's asking them. He's putting truth in front of them, wanting them to respond. What's their response? They kept silent. No answer is an answer. Can you say amen? Amen. Sometimes you say, oh, I don't have an answer for that. Well, you just gave an answer for that. You know, someone walks in, they're like, you know, and you're doing something that they told you not to do, and then I'm not even going to say anything. You know what I mean? They just say that to you. They just said something, right? So their silence is saying something. Amen? All right, now look at verse 5. When he had looked around at them with anger, everyone say anger. Being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Was Jesus angry? Put it back up. Verse 4, please. Then Jesus said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good? Keep next one. They kept silent. Verse 5 then. When he had looked around at them with anger. Who's he? He looked around them with what? Anger. Being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. What? So was Jesus angry? Yes. Why was Jesus angry? Hardness of their hearts. Was he angry for anything else? Think about the nature of God. Think about the ministry of Jesus. Think about the will of God. Think about what happened in this story. Why else was he angry? He was angry because he wants his hand. He's angry for his hand to be made well. Jesus was angry at their hardness of hearts. That's absolutely true. There's more than one level here. That's what I'm trying to say. But he's also angry at the physical condition of the man. He's angry at the spirit of infirmity, or, you know, the spirit of sickness, whatever caused him, his hand to be withered. Anger points to what we value. Write that down. Anger points, that's key to understanding anger. That's key to understanding the nature that God, his nature that he put inside of us. The anger points to what we value. I even have that. Can you put up that cool quote, anger? Do you guys have that one? Anger exposes? Yeah? Okay, go ahead and throw that up, please. Anger exposes what we value and expresses our willingness to do what is required to reach that value. Anger exposes what we value. Tonight, this is just a snippet of the reality that God made us emotional beings in our hearts, and to understand our hearts, that we're not religious beings. We're not just natural beings. We're not just male and female. We are emotional. And that's not a bad thing. You add the spiritual nature, that's the heart. Your heart is not just your spirit. Your heart is your spirit and your soul combined. Without going through a lot of teaching on that. But let's just think of it that way. It's your heart. You ever talk to somebody like, that person has heart? You know, sports, or like, I mean, those are the movies I love. I don't know. That's another way to know about your heart. What are the movies that get to you? What are the movies that make you cry, if you're willing to admit that you cry in movies? I love the ones where people overcome adversity. I think pretty much that's God put that inside of us. He created us to be overcomers. You know, I love the ones where people go against I love the ones that have justice, that there's something that's just unjust. And I'm not talking about the social justice that's out there. I would rename that subjective justice, because the subject, there's too many people out there that the subject themselves say what's just and what's not. That's what's out in the PC world. But the subject named the Lord God Almighty, he says what's just and what's not. The Bible says justice flows from his throne. True justice flows from the throne of God. Righteousness is at his right hand, and justice flows from his throne. I think I'm misquoting that verse, but it's true. Justice originates with God. And he's in me, and he's in you. So we love it when, like, man, the bully gets told what's up. I mean, you know, don't go too far now. We love it really when they change, and then they humble out, and they start treating people the right way. Right? We ain't trying to go all overboard. That's why the reality of God's nature is so important. That's one of the main reasons that evil exists in the world, because he has a core value that he allows people to do what they want to do. He gives them gives us free will. But the power of prayer is amazing too. We have the power to bring through prayer, intercession, through our agreeing with God in all kinds of ways, our prayers in our lives, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Anger exposes what we value and expresses our willingness to do what is required to reach that value. So back to that story, Jesus valued that man. He valued that man living. What did Jesus come to do? John 10:10. Jesus said the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. God, this is so important. Memorize this verse, John 10:10. Jesus said, but I have come. Everyone say, I have come. That you may have life, and you may have it abundantly, super abundantly, super abundantly. He wants us to have life. What, according to whose definition? His definition, because he's the author. He knows best. He loves us the best. Amen. He's wise. He's all wise. So there's an anger that Jesus has. Let's go to the next. Let's go to point number one. There is an impairment of anger, though. The impairment of anger is pride and depression. So that's why when I was asking those questions, you could have gone either way. You know, when I was saying, is anger sinful? Is anger, you know, the things I was asking earlier, is anger, were we supposed to be angry? Is it, does God want us to be? Is it religious or not? Like, the impairment of anger is pride and depression. So if we have anger for something and it doesn't have a natural or an appropriate expression, then we're either going to take matters into our own hands, vigilante justice, or subjective justice, also known as social justice warriors, and we're going to exalt our version above everybody else. We're going to take our anger and we're going to do what we want with it. Or we're going to feel like we have no voice, we're going to feel like we're not empowered, and we're going to suppress those emotions, the heart that God put inside of us, and we're going to be depressed. That's impairment. And in our personal lives, this is, we'll get to some practical at the very end. In our personal lives, this applies too. You know, if we don't feel like we can share something with somebody that we value, you know, then we're not able to, we express our anger. And remember, turn your thinking from anger being bad and you have to throw plates and you have to yell and you have to use words that you are going to regret later. That's an impairment of anger. The true expression of anger is say, hey, I love it when you look at me when you're talking. And you guys are married, right? You guys probably have some stuff that you talk about to express your heart to that person. That's anger, a good anger. Let's go on to the second point. I'll jump right into the gift of anger. The gift of anger is passion. The gift of anger is passion. When I tell you that I want you to look in my eyes, Joaquin, when I'm talking to you, it's because I value you. It's because I value connection with you. It's because I want to see what's in your soul. You know, what's in there, brother? Back away before Miranda tackles me. The gift of anger is passion. We have to have a proper balance, a proper knowledge of what this is. That's why Ephesians 4:26 can say, it's actually quoting Psalms, be angry and do not sin. Be angry and do not sin. It's telling us to be angry. It's telling us to have passion for something. If you look in the context of Ephesians 4 there, it's talking about having good, the right appropriate words that edify each other. Right, Leanna? Has she memorized there's one verse? 29. And just to know, to lift each other up with our words and to not let the sun go down on our wrath, because that would be an impairment. That would be, God wants us to express ourselves and be empowered and have a voice and deal with things his way. And that's what allows our heart to be healthy. And this includes our relationship with God. Read the Psalms. David went angry, ballistic, like with God. And not, you know, he just had raw emotion in so many of the Psalms. I remember reading Psalms before I even had a clue about anything that I'm talking about tonight. And I remember reading the Psalms and thinking, dude, David just, he lost his salvation right there. That boy is crazy. He talks about like pulling people's teeth. God, pull their teeth out. God, cut their arms out, break their ankles. And I'm not talking about basketball. I'm talking about like break their ankles. You know what I'm talking about? But then at the end, like he would just talk about, but you are righteous. You are holy. He's getting his emotion. He's getting his heart out because he wants to be known by God. It's not just knowing God, it's being known by God. And he says, that's why, what's David known as? At the end of the day, what's David know? What did God call him in Acts? And a man, what?
After his own heart.
After God's own heart. Come on, somebody. A man after God's own, not followed all the rules right, not after perfection, because sometimes perfection is the opposite of good. Perfection is the opposite of just putting your heart out and trying. That's why we value those people, those movies, those situations that they go for it wholeheartedly and they make mistakes, but then they respond to that. God, we're attracted to heart. And God's attracted to our heart. Amen? God's attracted to our heart. And when we act like David and we say, God, I don't like what's going on in my life. I got anger. I want more people saved. I'm angry that people are dying and going to hell because I love people. And that's just God's heart being expressed through me. God's called us at Sozo to be a group that has heart and more heart than we have. We have a lot of heart. There's a lot of passion. But a little bit of understanding and sometimes in our personal time with God, just last night, I was just, there's just stuff. When stuff is out of your control, when stuff's out of, it bothers me. And I don't think I'm the only one. It's just like, you're just angry. Because you value it. I want things, this to be different and that to be different. I just need to pray. I just need to talk to God. And sometimes the prayer of like, now I lay me down to sleep, like the quiet, cute prayers, don't get it done. I'm talking about I needed a prayer where tears were coming out and moco was coming out. Mocos? Mocos, I don't care. Don't get near me because Mocos going to be slinging out here. Hallelujah. Like, God, because I can't fully express my heart quietly all the time. You know what I'm saying? You know, literally one of the, there's two main words in Greek for anger. One of them is thermos, T-H-E-R-M-O-S. Thermos, like thermal underwear, thermoses. They keep the heat. It's a temperature thing. It's taking the temperature. We're supposed to be alive. We're supposed to have passion for things. We're not supposed to just be que sera, sera. And whatever's going to happen will happen. And I can't do anything about it anyway. We're God's people. We're God's agent of change on this earth. We're called to have passion. Amen? Let's go to Luke. Wait, not Luke. John. John 2:13. Let's read this. Oh, cool. We got a little bit of time. Sweet. We're going to pour our passion out to God. Amen? Now, the Passover of the Jews is at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. This is a great story. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" Oh my goodness, you religious thing. Jesus, that was just me just getting mad, angry right there. I hate religiosity. If you notice, the enemy of his passion in both of these stories is religious people that don't have passion for God. That is a huge enemy. That's why we're not supposed to get saved, sanctified, and then religious. We're supposed to be worshiping God with reckless abandon. We're supposed to be like talking to people. I'm talking about out of our heart, talking to people about God, and it kind of rubs them the wrong way a little bit because we got a little bit too much excitement, honey. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to be. And I'm as guilty as anybody else of losing passion and getting and making it a routine and this and that. But I just feel like a voice crying in the wilderness tonight. I just want to share what God's doing in my life. I want us to have passion, and I know you do too. Because I'll tell you right now, some of the most passionate people and the ones that God used over and over and over again are young people. Are there any young people in the house tonight? Come on. I mean, come on. He chose Mary. She's 15 years old or whatever. And look what she went through to have that baby. They did not have 16 and pregnant when Mary was having that baby. I'm telling you right now, there was no MTV. And look at the disciples. Look at David when he defeated Goliath. It's so funny. When I got in the house tonight, I talked to a certain young man in this room, and we were talking about, I said, "Man, what do you like to do?" We're talking about sports, and he wasn't really into sports, and I said, "What do you like, video games, huh?" And he said, "Yeah, I love video games." I said, "You like League of Legends?" He said, "Yeah." His face just starts shining. I said, "Oh." And I said, "Is that your favorite?" It's like he kind of said yes or wanted to say yes, but it was like you could tell it wasn't his favorite. I said, "Is Fortnite your favorite?" "Yeah!" He got all happy. I said, "What's the longest you've ever played? Or what's your favorite character?" "Oh, Skull." Something with a skull. It's a skull. I don't know. I'm like, "Why do you like it?" "Because it's a skull. It looks cool." "All right, cool. How's the longest you've ever played video games in a row?" And I was just literally saying, like, until his mom made him go to bed or something like that, right? 5 hours. I said, "Oh, it's probably like some of you probably have done longer than that, right?" What made you stop? I really had to pee, he says to me. I love that. Dude, he held it for 5 hours. Praise God. That's passion. That's passion. Come on, son. Come on, you guys can let loose a little bit. You guys can laugh. We all got to pee sometime. You can't play video games forever. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Let's get back to the story. Look at this, verse 20. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word. Jesus saw. Why was Jesus, do you think Jesus was angry in that? Was there passion that he was showing in that story right there? Yes or no? Yes. Why did he have that passion? The what? He loved his father. He loved what his father loved. And he hated what his father hated. And his passion, his anger for that consumed him. They even say, I don't know if we just went through it or a parallel passage, that they remembered an Old Testament prophetic verse that says, the zeal of his house has consumed him. The zeal. Zeal is another word that denotes temperature. Amen. All right, last three things. I just want to say three things that anger points to. Do you guys have this? I don't know if you have the. Anyway, there's three things that anger does. Number one, it warns us. It warns us. If you want it to be released in a healthy passion, you want it to be released in line with the nature of God, then it warns us to things not to do, people not to be around, things people to cut off, things to change. It warns us. It warns us that there are things in this life and people, just like those religious people, that can influence us and steal our anger, steal our passion. I'm not going to say I don't know about you. I'm going to say I know about you, that you're like me. You don't have time for anything that's going to keep you from having passion for the one who loves me, who died for me, has an anger. I thought about it during worship. I realized God was angry at the enemy. I love Genesis 3. I mean, I hate when they eat the wrong thing in the tree. I hate the disobedience. That's just, man, I don't like that part. But I love right away. By the way, what did God do right away? He says, woman, this is your curse. Man, this is your curse, whatever the order was. What was really going on there? They were acting independently like they didn't need God. So he just wanted to make sure that they continued to need him. And that is relationship. When I go to work and I'm tired, I need God. When ladies, when you're having your babies, you need God. And not just when you're giving birth, you need God when you're raising them. We all do. All of you, everyone does as parents. Amen. My parents need God. But then he gets to the serpent, demon possessed snake, and he starts prophesying. He starts prophesying. Starts speaking straight from his heart. Starts declaring promises that wouldn't be revealed for thousands of years. Curses him, but then he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. It's talking about the descendant of a woman who is the only one who's truly a descendant of a woman. It's only one person, that's Jesus Christ. The rest of us have the bloodline of our fathers. The only one whose father was truly God. Jesus Christ shall bruise your head. There's some anger there. There's some passion there. And the Bible says that it took the wisdom of God. Took the wisdom of God. Can you get this for me, brother? That if the devil, yeah, you can come up, thanks. If the devil, if the demonic realm knew God's plan of salvation, the wisdom of God, they call it, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. So imagine this, God has so much anger, so much passion for us to have relationship with him again because he values us. Because anger illuminates what we value. It illuminates what he values. And yet, how many times how many chances did Jesus have to sin in his anger? How many times did they try to trap him? How many times were they apathetic? Man, this is convicting. What about Moses? Why did he not get in the promised land? It wasn't because he made a simple mistake. It was because he allowed the impairment of anger called pride to take over. And he says, you. Forgot what he called him, but like, you hard-hearted imbeciles or whatever he called them. You stubborn and stiff-necked people. That's what it was. Do I need to pull the water out of this rock? His anger for the people around him who were acting fools. I mean, they were complaining and whining, and I ain't there yet. I'd get mad. I'm not saying I'm better than Moses, but I'm telling you what, his heart, and so that was an impairment of anger, but his anger was anger is an expression of what we value. So number one, anger warns us. Guys, we're going to spend a little bit of time with God at the end right now. I want you to ask God, cry out to God. What do I need to be warned from? Maybe you're like me. Maybe you need more anger. Maybe you need more passion. I got passion, but I need more. I want more. I want more life flowing through me. Number two, anger clarifies what I need to pay attention to. What do I need to focus? The Bible never tells us in the New Testament to not do one thing until he tells us to focus on something else. Don't be involved with these foolish lusts. Instead, seek righteousness. That's all lust is. Sexual lust, money lust, whatever it is, it's just anger, it's just passion geared the wrong way. Get passionate for God, that's a big answer. But also get passionate for God, and not just vertically, get passionate with the body of Christ. That was one of the things that I didn't realize. I started getting an ego when I had a lot of lust issues, and I just think I just need to get more scripture in my head. But knowledge puffs up, love edifies, and love has to do with being vulnerable with people and open and saying, man, I'm struggling. That's when I got free. And last one, the anger of God. Anger motivates us. It gives us, it connects us with the reality of our wants and desires. Words that go along with anger are words like thirst, hunger, tired, These are words that should express passion. You want something. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I know there are people that are joining me right now in heart, and they want more passion. They want your anger, your passion, your truth to illuminate, to clarify, to warn, to motivate,